You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear how quitting, yes, doing the one thing we're all told literally never, ever to do, is something that I do, and something that I might recommend you do too. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. Speaking of quitting, this episode is excitedly sponsored by Genexa, the organic medicine company that helps you quit traditional synthetic over-the-counter meds and can help you quit having sore muscles, not being able to sleep, being jet-lagged, having allergy symptoms, feeling stressed, and a whole bunch of other things. Genexa has a line of 11, one better than the next, homeopathic medicines that work with your body to rid itself of a lot of the common sucky things we feel. And when I say they work with your body, I really mean it, because that's what homeopathic medicine is. It's medicine that utilizes plants, like a passion flower in the case of Genexa's stress relief formula, to essentially remind our body of its abilities to work properly. And in the case of the passion flower, that tells our mind to quiet down and it instructs our nerves to chill out. Because Genexa's medicines don't have anything remotely close to a synthetic drug in them, but they still work, I promise. Their stress relief formula is literally my go-to chill pill. But because they don't have anything toxic or terrible in them, there are zero side effects, which is sweet. Also sweet is, as a Party in My Plants podcast listener, you can save a whopping 30% off of any Genexa products you want to buy off their site, genexahealth.com, using code PARTYPLANTS. And if this was just way too much to remember and you're now stressed and want to go buy their stress relief formula, just go to the show notes, partyinmyplants.com/39, for all this info. My half marathon was this past weekend. I woke up the morning of the half marathon feeling happy, relaxed, confident, and at ease. I drank my pre-workout, laced up my sneakers. Okay, that's a lie. I never really untie my sneakers, so I never need to lace them up, but I thought that's what people say when they put on their sneakers. I squeezed my boobies into my favorite sports bra, this navy one with a cool back. I realized my favorite running pants were dirty, so I put on my second favorite running pants, which are literally just a second pair of my first favorite running pants, because when you find running pants you love, you buy two of them, of course. I threw on an easy breezy tank, my new Apple Watch, which I'm still trying to figure out how to use, and I hit the road running. I had a great run that morning. 4 beautiful, sunshiny miles. And then I came back, had my protein waffles, and spent the rest of the beautiful Sunday with my two dudes, my male dude and my golden dude. Oh, are you wondering about that 4 miles thing? Well, you see, half marathons are typically 13.1 miles. And this one was no exception. I just ran 4 miles because I wasn't even at the half marathon, because I had quit my half marathon training. And no, saying that doesn't even make me feel the least bit shameful. I'm a proud quitter, a strategic quitter, a healthy quitter, in my opinion. And since wrapping the word quitting in a positive connotation bow is a rarity, I figured I'd take this time to chat with you about my art and science to strategic positive quitting, so maybe you can feel less lousy about finally giving up that thing you want to give up, or carry less guilt about quitting so-and-so way back when or yesterday. Since I've been old enough to make my own decisions, and fortunately I have a set of parents who allowed me to make all my own decisions from a very young age, I've been allowed to quit a whole bunch of things. Here are just some big things I've quit that I can think of off the top of my head as I'm writing this list. I've quit varsity and AAU basketball, gymnastics, tap and jazz class, my high school clique, my college sorority, my college newspaper's editor's job, the South Beach diet, a vegan diet, anxiety attacks, CrossFit, meat, beer, my philosophy 101 class in college, my half marathon, stalking my exes on Facebook, being afraid of dogs, writing an online course, my job at Liquiteria, and my job at The Late Show with David Letterman. Holy gluten-free macaroni. That is a lot of stuff just off the top of my head as I'm writing this list. And some big stuff too. I mean, a sport that I'd played religiously for over 10 years, spent all my high school summers improving at basketball camps, and most of my weekends traveling to different New England states to play 4 games in 2 days for AAU basketball tournaments. I've quit jobs. I've quit friends. I've quit fears. I've quit beer. It's really, really interesting how bad of a reputation quitting gets. I just Googled quotes about quitting, and here are the top ones that popped up. Pain is temporary. Quitting is forever. When you feel like quitting, think about why you started. Life has 2 rules. Number 1, never quit. Number 2, always remember rule number 1. Yeesh. I mean, no wonder quitting is such a heavy word. I mean, it's also so unusual looking with that Q, a U, and then the threatening double T's when you use it as an adverb. I used to feel so guilty about the laundry list of things I've quit. I thought maybe I lacked self-discipline or the ability to like tough things out. I blamed my parents for a little while. Sorry, guys, because I thought that maybe they shouldn't have let me quit things. Maybe they should have pushed me to persevere, reminded me that pain is temporary and quitting is forever. The shame I felt around quitting all the things that I'd quit weighed on me, like weighed hard, heavy shame. I really beat myself up over it, even though I knew in my gut that all those instances, I did the right thing. How confusing. I think I had been hoping for something to relieve me of this guilt for a long time. I'd openly discuss how lame I felt with my closest peeps, how embarrassed and how scared I was that I was fated to be the type of person to quit when things got sucky. I can't really pinpoint an exact moment when I adopted a completely different view on quitting. I've read lots of books on it, watched many YouTube videos, listened to plenty of podcasts, but I think I really started looking differently at quitting and accepting a new perspective on quitting when I actually coached one of my health coaching clients through quitting her job. My client, Cindy, I'll call her, which isn't the name she's actually called, was just miserable. She had come to me for help with her IBS and she was doing everything perfectly. She was plant partying it up like a pro. She did yoga, she ran, she drank smoothies, ate salads, baked my black bean brownies. Like I said, total plant party pro. The one thing that was missing for Cindy, though, was really listening to her gut. I mean, she was feeding her gut great stuff, but listening to it, not so much. Well, that's what a health coach is for, by the way, to point out the not so obvious to you, but in hindsight, oh my God, how did I miss that type of stuff? In any event, Cindy knew that she hated her job, but it was completely obvious to me that her belly and her body hated her job too. Whenever she'd get a bonus day off or the ability to work from home, she'd feel really, really good. Her digestion was great and her body felt happy. But the moment she stepped into her car to head to her office, her stomach would throw fits. We would take coaching calls on some of her work-at-home days, and she sounded light, calm, and chipper. And then we'd take coaching calls on her lunch break in her car at work, and she'd sound like she was holding back tears. Over time, it became completely obvious to me that her job was hindering her health. Not because anything was wrong with her job per se. I'm sure the office was swell and the people were fine, but it wasn't aligned with her and who she was and who she wanted to be and the kind of life she wanted to live in the short time we get on Earth. Snap. All of a sudden, I think I realized where my tendency to quit came from. My health. Who would a freaking thunk. I mean, in hindsight, I guess it's not that shocking, but I think I quit all the things I've quit in my past because all those things became so out of whack with who I was and who I wanted to be, although they might not have started out of whack, that they threw my body out of whack. And because I listen to my body and prioritize it feeling good above anything else, I'm able to notice when a life decision is wrong for me. And because I don't like when my body feels awful, I bounce from whatever thing is making me feel awful. Whew. Because ultimately, the negative stress you're experiencing, forcing yourself to do something that's no longer something you actually want to do, is so unhealthy for your body. Because stress, that negates everything. I don't care how damn good running is for me, the lack of enjoyment I'd have running my practice 10 milers, the intense forcing I'd have to do to myself to venture out on them, and the mid-run, OMG, can this please be over, were all not good for my health. In fact, I got sick after every long practice run I did. That was my first indication that I wasn't on the right track. Pun. Okay. So now I knew why I'd quit so many major things in my life. And it wasn't because I'm a diva who can't handle the hard stuff. There's actually plenty of hard stuff I've stuck with. Full-time culinary school wasn't easy breezy. The 10 years I played basketball at least 12 hours a week was not a piece of cake. Working on my relationship certainly isn't a cinch. Quitting anxiety wasn't easy and is explained in episode number 10. Raising a puppy was harder than I ever could have thought. Oh, and how about a little thing called building my own business from scratch? Opposite of easy. I realized that none of the things I've quit or stuck with were a matter of easy versus hard, but rather a matter of, do me and my authentic gut want to be doing these things or not? That's the thing. One of those quotes I initially Googled on quitting was, when you feel like quitting, think about why you started. Well, yeah, do that. Because in my opinion, continuing to do something that's tough should only be done if you're still connected to why you started. Like if you still want the why, then it's worth persevering. Or I guess I should also say if it's actually necessary for survival. I mean, going to the gynecologist is not a fun activity, but it's pretty necessary to get those annual pap smears or whatever. But this is the missing link in the whole quitting discussion. All those quotes and everything we're taught is all like, do not quit, no matter what, no matter what. Well, I'll tell you what, you have my full permission to quit if you're no longer aligned with the reason why you started and no longer care about why you're doing it. Looking back on my quitting history, I found 5 common quitting questions I've always intuitively asked myself before taking the leap. I want to be clear, by no means, not one bit, was quitting any of the things I've quit in my life an easy, quick, or overnight decision. Some were month-long decisions, or at least a couple of weeks, but never impulse quit decisions. I think impulse decisions are more for when you're like holding plank and you know there's only 10 seconds left, but you can't do it, damn it, so you quit. You collapse impulsively, and then you regret it because what's 3 more seconds in plank in the scheme of life? Does that only happen to me? I doubt it. Okay, so my 5 quitting questions that I strongly suggest you always ask yourself when making your quitting decisions are, 1, is the end result something I really want? I kind of just said this, but I'll say it again because it's so important. It's easy and smart to persevere through this stuff if you want what's at the end of the perseverance. And this is really the question I asked myself when I decided to quit my half marathon. I closed my eyes and visualized myself finishing the race among a sea of people, getting hugs from my fam, and then going out for a carbalicious celebratory meal. I really let myself sit in this scene. And guess what? None of it was appealing to me. I mean, none of it was like, yes, I really want to do that. And I want that to happen IRL. And then I thought back to when I decided to sign up for the half marathon, inspired because other people had told me how much they loved it. And I realized that I'd signed up because they loved it, not because I loved it. Well, gee whiz, they're not the ones running the race. I am. And I don't even want to. Which leads me to my next quitting question. 2, why do I want that thing? Why do I want that thing? When I was quitting my vegan diet, giving up the vegan label for myself, I went through a holy guacamole emotional struggle. I talk a lot about that in episode 1 of this podcast if you want to go back and listen. Ultimately, I had come to a place where plants had totally healed my bod. I had been vegan for 4 years at that point, and my bod was starting to eyeball eggs and fish that others were eating at the table in front of me. I fought those cravings for egg and fish for like 6 months because I was like, no, I am Talia the vegan. I am not quitting being Talia the vegan. Talia the vegan must prevail. All hail Talia the vegan. Okay, I didn't take it that far, but I didn't want to give in to what my body was asking for out of pure guilt about literally quitting being called the title vegan. Well, eventually I got over myself by asking myself this second quitting question. Why do I really want the thing? Why do I want to be called a vegan? And it was really just because I'd been labeling myself for so long, to be honest. I was embarrassed to go from the person who'd meet a new person and be like, hey, I'm Talia, vegan, what's your name? To just, hey, I'm Talia, what's your name? When I got clear on why I felt I really wanted that thing that I was fighting the urge to quit, it became obvious that the why was pretty stupid and quitting was pretty smart. Quitting question number three is, does this thing spark joy? Many of us have heard of Marie Kondo's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. To date, I've magically tidied up my dresser twice since getting her book a year ago. And it's awesome. Totally worth all the hype. Her main principle in helping you decide which items you should keep in your home and which you should get out of there is holding the item in your hands and asking yourself, does this spark joy? Does this pillowcase spark joy? Does this book spark joy? Does this old, holy, dirty pair of undies spark joy? And if it doesn't spark joy, it's out of there. And if it does, it stays. Well, I'd argue that asking, like, if your job sparks joy, or your friend sparks joy, or your fitness routine sparks joy, is arguably more important than your pillowcase sparking joy. Well, I mean, you really don't want like crap around your house that brings you down. So I guess getting rid of your ex's pillowcase is very important too. But so is the job, the friends, the fitness routine thing. So when I've quit things, I've always asked myself, does this thing spark joy? And this was way before Marie Kondo's book came out. I should have trademarked it a long time ago. Well, maybe I'd ask, does this make me happy? Does this bring me joy? Well, I'll tell you one thing. When I was bouncing from my sorority, it was because every time I asked myself, does being in the sorority bring me joy? The answer was an insanely loud no. Why do something like that if it doesn't bring you happiness? Who cares if you're that weird person who quit a sorority and still has shirts with letters on them that are comfortable as F that you wear around your house? I'd rather be happy doing my thing than doing something it seems weird to not do, especially at my ultra Greek life culture school, Syracuse. Because ultimately, if I'm not happy, my body won't be happy. My health won't be happy. And like I said, above all else, that's my number one. You can't have a happy tummy without a happy me. Quitting question number four, does thinking about it from both angles make me feel light and loose or heavy and tight? I have watched Marie Forleo, online businesswoman extraordinaire's video titled Fear Versus Intuition, How to Tell the Difference, probably 36 times by now. Because in it is one of the most life-changing pieces of knowledge I've ever received. I linked to the video in the show notes of this episode, by the way, at partyinmyplants.com/39. She says to pay attention to whether the thing you're thinking about doing or quitting makes you feel expansive or contracted. Okay, whoa, woo-woo alert. I know, but hear me out here. Think about smooching your ex for a second, the one that you ended on not great terms with. Ew, contracted, right? It feels like icky thinking about that. You feel tense, light, contracted. Okay, now think about your last picturesque, relaxing vacation. Lounging on the beach, chilling by the pool, hiking your heart out, or flying down the snowy slopes. Whatever it is, that feels pretty good, right? You feel light, at ease, expansive. If you try to pay attention, you will notice that certain things make you feel certain ways. And when you're trying to decide whether you should quit or stick with said certain things, you can look to what said certain things made you feel. So when I was thinking about ditching my half marathon, I thought about how the idea not running the half marathon felt to me. Expansive, baby, freeing. Woo! I'm like a bird. I only fly away. Then I asked myself, how does sticking with the half marathon feel? And I got contractive, my friend. Ooh, tight, yuck. Ugh, I don't want to do that or feel this way. But before I just up and quit in that instance, I quickly asked myself quitting question number five. Could this be fear? Talia, are you afraid of just not running fast enough? Are you scared that you're going to have to stop and walk halfway through and it's going to be embarrassing? Do you just want to quit because you're scared of something? And when I say I quickly ask myself, I mean it. You know the Friends episode when Phoebe plays this quote-unquote dangerous game with Joey about what route he should take driving to Vegas? And she rapid-firely asks him questions that he has no time to think about and just has to answer impulsively? Well, that's what I do here with this fear question. And yes, I do wish Phoebe could be the one asking me this question. Because if I just sit around and ponder fear for too long, I'll talk myself into a slew of things and then shit gets cray. It's best to just go with your first instinct when it comes to fear. So I say to myself, is this quitting half marathon thing all fear? And immediately I said back, this is all internally, by the way. Ironically, I was asking myself this while I was on the treadmill. But I said back, no, it's because it's not fun and I don't care to cross the finish line. Boom, done. Half marathoner out. Okay. I know I've gone on and on about this quitting thing here, so it is time for me to quit talking about it. But I want you to remember that the reason I'm so passionate about quitting is because doing things that your gut, heart, true self, and soul don't want you to do can make you sick. Bottom line, stress trumps everything. It negates everything. I don't care how damn good running is for me. Forcing myself to do 9, 10-mile runs was unsparking so much joy that I'd actually get sick after each one of them. And I don't care how high paying your job is. If you're forcing yourself there with misery, that is going to make you sick and bring you down. Again, do what's in your realm of possibility. Don't just willy-nilly quit your job because it's Party My Plants Girl told you to. But I do hope this gives you a loving kick in the pants to take a look at how your activities, not just your food, are affecting your health. Thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you're feeling less guilty about the things you've quit in the past and maybe even inspired to let go of some present things. Yes, quitting your dreams when things get tough is not a great move. You haven't seen me quitting Party in My Plants despite a million billion setbacks through the past 3 years, but quitting your old dreams or quitting someone else's dreams or just quitting a thing that nobody's ever dreamed of is perfectly okay, in my opinion. I mean, hey, did you hear my latest podcast episode, number 38? Where the co-founder of Wild Friends Nut Butter, a multi-million dollar nut and seed butter company, explained that she quit college. Yeah, see, quitting ain't all the crap it's cracked up to be. For a summary of everything I just talked about, plus info about my awesome sponsor, Genexa, the organic medicine company that helps you quit traditional over-the-counter drugs and also quit experiencing common sucky symptoms like colds, allergies, sleeplessness, stress, muscle pain, and jet lag, plus so much more that takes the hell out of healthy living, head over to partyinmyplants.com/39.